I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back. My name is Kit.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, a podcast, if you're unaware, where we talk about TV shows and movies and all kinds of fun nonsense. In this episode, we're going to be covering The Long Kiss Goodnight from 1996, a movie requested by one of our patrons, a Becky.
Becky,
look at this movie. We have certain a tier of Patreon where people can force us to watch one of their favorite movies, and we have to review it on the show, recap it on the show, and that's what we're doing. That's what you're listening to or watching on YouTube or Spotify video right now. You can join the Patreon at patreon.com/streamingthings and get a variety of bonuses. And pretty soon, we're gonna take a look at that for 2024. So stay tuned. I think you guys are gonna love it.
Yeah,
we got lots of good stuff.
Big things happening on the horizon for old Streaming Things in the year 2024.
Okay, little Sniper Tony slipped out just then.
Oh, 2024.
Old Streaming Things.
Yeah, you might have already noticed by now. Well, this is the second of two episodes that have released this week, but there's a third one coming out on Friday. Lost, episode 16 of Lost.
Yeah,
we'll be covering that. We're going to three episodes a week again.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then we're going to be covering some really cool stuff this year. Really excited for you guys to see it.
Yeah, we've got a release calendar planned that's very exciting for 2024. Kit will not be here next week. So it'll be Steve Madison and a mystery third host, most likely, because I will be at the 2024 Sundance Film Festival while we're recording next week's episode. So I won't be there. So look forward to my coverage of that and all kinds of other fun things soon.
You'll be in our thoughts.
And prayers.
You're always in my prayers.
T's and P's.
For your boy? You're always in my T's and P's.
Yeah, send your boy some T's and P's if you could. And tids and bits.
Tids and bits.
That's T's and B's. It's different. And so it could also be tits and butts.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of good things being thrown your way. Out of all those, acronyms, you got some good stuff.
So, Steve, as we do, we always discuss our overall thoughts, our relationship and history with each movie, and then we do the play-by-play. What was your experience watching The Long Kiss Goodnight, I believe, for the first time?
It was for the first time. I actually sort of had an epiphany when this came up, because there was a lot of movies that came out in the 90s that people have suggested that we watch.
Sure.
And I've never seen them. Like, apparently the 90s are a huge blind spot for me, specifically like the mid 90s.
That's interesting, because that is my favorite decade. Like, if according to Letterboxd, it is my highest rated decade.
I think what's happening, at least in my case, is, you know,
you had older siblings watching a lot of 80s stuff.
Yeah, maybe? I had older siblings. I'm watching what they're watching, but also the early to mid 90s for me as little Steve. You know, little kids like watching.
When you had your rap career, little Steve?
little Steve. Born in West Milford area. Born and raised. You know how like little kids, they like have a movie and they like grip onto and they just watch over and over again. The early 90s for me was like dominated by Jurassic Park and Star Wars. So like that was just my life, you know, back then. So I think a lot, especially a lot of these movies that were, you know, aimed towards like adult audiences, like your Last Kiss Goodnights.
You weren't watching American Beauty, you know?
Yeah, I wasn't watching American Beauty. I wasn't watching Last Kiss Goodnight. So, and by the time I got old enough to really appreciate those movies, I was focused on what was coming out in real time, you know?
And Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, Matrix, all those things. And so it's been fun, this exercise of patrons choosing what we watch has been fun because you get these 90s movies that I don't know anything about, I've never seen. And to be honest.
Be honest, Kit, don't lie.
I had no clue what this movie was.
That's the best feeling.
I think I had seen the poster. The only thing I knew about this movie was I was vaguely aware that Samuel L. Jackson was in it. But other than that, didn't know a thing.
That's actually like a 50-50 chance at all times.
That's true. I mean, I think he was like for a while there, he was like, he may still be the highest earning actor of all time because he's just he says yes to fucking everything. So he's just in a lot of stuff that made a ton of money.
He doesn't have the most credits. I mean, there's some Bollywood actors that have been in thousands of movies.
Right.
But also I think, James Wong.
Yeah. James Wong
has more credits than him and probably even Danny Trejo.
But I'm saying because he's in so much and so much of what he's been in has gone on to be like super successful mega franchise hits. Yeah, I mean, he's in Star Wars. He's in the Marvel movies. He's in Jurassic Park. He's in a ton of stuff. And it's a bunch of successful things. So for a while, he was like the most successful box office wise actor. I don't know if he's that anymore. And this run
currently that we're in right now is wild too, because he was in Jurassic Park.
93.
And then he was in Last Kiss Goodnight. I don't know how well this movie did, but it was a big zeitgeist movie.
It did not do well.
The Die Hard with a Vengeance is right around this time as well, isn't it? Is it not?
It's in the 90s, I think.
And he was in something else.
He's in so, like, seriously.
Pulp Fiction. I'm fucking stupid.
Oh, yeah. What the fuck are we on?
Jurassic Park. True Romance.
True Romance.
And then Pulp Fiction.
Yep.
Die Hard with a Vengeance, 95. Hard Eight, Paul Thomas Anderson's first film. I've never even seen it. A Time to Kill, that's what I was trying to think of.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. This is the poster that I had in my head when I said Philadelphia.
Time to Kill?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Because I think Philadelphia has a similar poster style.
Jackie Brown. Ooh, Sphere. He was in Sphere. Out of Sight, underrated.
The Negotiator.
And then he capped off the 90s with Phantom Menace, baby. Did you know the main character? I'm sure you knew this, but I am reading a lot about the 70s cinema, as we've talked about before. Mm-hmm. That I love these tangents we go on. People live for these.
I think so.
Mace Windu was like the main character of Star Wars.
Yeah, in the original like giraffe.
Yeah, he'd like love that name. And it was called The Force of Others. And Brian De Palma is responsible for most of, like, he gave him so much shit at the initial screening. Like, dude, what the fuck is this? The farts of others. What are you talking about, dude?
George Lucas needs, the dude is just a fire hydrant of like ideas.
Yeah.
A lot of them aren't good. You need someone to like rein him in.
I knew it was Luke Starkiller. But Star I did Killer, not yeah. know that initially Mace Windu was just like the first name he came up with. And he fucked with that name so heavy. Because we're doing a Star Wars deep dive soon. I guess this would be more appropriate for that conversation.
Oh, yeah. Just so you know, like end of February, we're starting a Star Wars marathon. Just so you know, no big deal.
Long Kiss Goodnight, baby.
Long Kiss Goodnight.
So what was it like? You realized you'd never seen it before.
Yeah.
You thought Sam Jackson was in Philadelphia. And then?
I sat down to watch this movie. Didn't know anything about it. I think as I pulled it up on Apple TV to start watching, because it always has that little synopsis that you kind of read. And the first thing I read is like basically Gina Davis is Jason Bourne. I'm like, okay.
But before Jason Bourne.
But before Jason Bourne. Jason Bourne got all their good ideas from this movie. I boot it up. I start playing it. Kit.
You can call me Chris.
The ride I went on for 2 hours and 1 minute.
Know this was a Shane Black script?
No. So when the opening credits is like somebody writing cursive, I'm like, oh, I feel that pain. But, and then like Gina Davis. Oh, cool. Samuel Jackson. Oh, I knew that. Brian Cox. What? And then written by Shane Black.
Yeah, baby. So you knew it was Christmas
and
immediately.
Then as soon as it like went, I'm like, oh, of course it's Christmas time. We got Shane Black here. And the movie starts off and I'm just kind of like, oh my gosh, this is so corny. I'm not really into it. And then it cuts to the first Samuel Jackson scene and he's saying all the things he's saying. I'm like, I'm like, what the fuck is this movie? And then it, as the movie progresses, it's just insanity on top of insanity on top of insanity. And everything's a check off something. Check off gun and cock pants.
Oh, yeah.
Check off flaming dead guy.
Yeah, I mean, I check think off
arm cast.
It's a great script.
And I, like, by the end of the movie, I'm like, this is so fucking fun. This is the right level of stupid. Cause it is, there's a lot of things in it that's stupid, but it's the fun kind of stupid that like I'm in. And the action's pretty good. And there's a scene with like one guy like shoots what can only be described as a fireball out of a shotgun. And then a child is thrown through that hole. I was just, okay.
Oh, when One Eye Jack shows up with that, yeah. I guess it's a shotgun.
I guess.
What the fuck? How did he get that gun?
I don't know. He just like shot like a fireball and like exploded half the house. And then they throw one grenade at them in the train station and it demolishes the city block. it's so fucking funny. Good. It is just an enjoyable time. I really had no expectations for this movie, but I left thinking like this is one of the highlight. This is the highlight of 2024 so far for me. Mm-hmm. I know we're early in the year, but this is honestly like I haven't seen any new movies this year yet. But I don't know if anything can top the first time I just watched The Long Kiss Goodnight.
If you like this, this is another tangent. I highly recommend Jason Statham in The Beekeeper.
I'm gonna make a bunch of bees.
It is this. But obviously tenfold. That movie knows what it is. It's directed by David Ayer.
Okay, of Suicide Squad fame?
I would say more wrote Training Day and directed Fury. but sure, the Ayer cut that we never got.
Released the Ayer cut.
And written by Kurt Wimmer, who works with David Ayer a couple times. But he also did a ton of good movies. He writes like Law Abiding Citizen and a bunch of good credits. But that movie's fucking bonkers. It's literally, there's a line in that movie where the villain gets the upper hand momentarily on Jason Statham, who is a beekeeper, and says,
I'm a beekeeper.
To be or not to be, and goes to deliver the killing blow. I swear to God.
Please tell me before Jason Statham kills somebody, he goes, buzz, buzz.
So the beekeeper is actually like a government agent position. It's a whole thing. But here, I'm going to read my review.
Oh, so it's a title that the government bestows upon like the best agent they have or something.
He's the former beekeeper, but he's out of commission. We need to call the current beekeeper. Yeah, it's a whole thing. And it was like, clearly Kurt Wimmer got high, read a wiki about bees and thought of this movie because there's a lot of actual bee lore in the movie where like one of the cops, the detective is like reading about bees. Like there's a bee book that she finds in his stuff.
Bee book.
And she's like, sometimes a bee will kill the queen if it gives poor male offspring. It's called the Queen Slayer. And it's a whole thing, dude. But here's my review.
Oh, my God. Is there an officer that walks into the office and just starts doing a weird dance? And they're like, the crime's on Fifth Street. Follow him. Because that's how bees like tell them where the flowers are. They do a weird bee dance.
See, you knew more about bees than I did to make that joke. And I didn't get it.
We're going extinct. There's not many of us left.
This is my review. The uninitiated may see this as simply another B-grade action flick with cheap thrills and corny one-liners.
Oh, man.
But there are layers to this.
I did. Good, good.
But there are layers to this comb. This is a movie that begs society to be all it can be. It goes down sweet like honey, but with quite a sting. Believe the buzz. The beekeeper will be kicking some serious ass. Why? It bees like that sometimes. And the reason I'm so proud of that
yes,
review
queen.
Is because people read that and they roll their eyes as they should.
Yeah.
And then they see the movie and they're like, oh, this is like the script. This is how it is. Holy shit. This is kind of awesome.
Okay. I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. I had negative interest in seeing The Beekeeper, but based off what you just, I mean, the to be or not to be line alone.
That's an actual line from the movie.
I'm fucking in.
It's amazing. But I think this movie is like that, but nowhere near as bad. So I was a huge fan of this movie as a kid. I was not watching appropriate things. I was watching A Time to Kill with my dad and watching like a bunch of John Grisham adaptations and Jean-Claude Van Damme movies. I love movies like this. I was a huge action movie head.
Barbed wire.
Sure. And if they would, anything they would let me rent at Movie Warehouse, you know, I remember I famously
that when he narked on you.
No, that was Quills.
Oh, OK.
Which is Jeffrey Rush and his dick the whole time playing the Marquis de Sade. That's when he narked on me on.
The rental employee.
Yeah. And then a bunch of like Kevin Smith movies and stuff. But I love this movie. I have not seen it in a couple of decades. So I'm very grateful to Becky for having me watch this again. I love Shane Black.
Yeah.
I think that Iron Man 3 is a little underrated. It's not that great.
I think it's quite underrated. I like Iron Man 3 a lot.
I was very sad when our patrons did not let me watch Kiss Kiss Bang Bang for the pod for Christmas.
That's a great movie.
And The Nice Guys is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Amazing movie.
I'm a big fan. I don't know anything about his Predator movie. I've heard it's not good.
It is not. It's actually real bad.
But he was in the first Predator. That's fun.
He's the one that makes the pussy jokes.
I do think this script is amazing. I don't like the direction of this movie. This is sacrilege. I know the patrons are going to freak the fuck out. We have a lot of Gen X listeners and stuff that are going to be horrified by what I'm about to say. I don't think Gina Davis nails this. I've been too spoiled by like, you know,
Charlize Theron.
Yeah. Like actresses with, you know, not actors, actors in general with like martial arts training who really do practical stunts and directors that do wide shots and let things breathe.
Well, this movie is ahead of its time because the director, Renee Harlin, I don't know if they're still married, but they were married at the time this movie was made. With Gina Davis.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And they made this movie and the swashbuckling movie that she stars in with Matthew Modine before this. They purposely were making these movies because they wanted Hollywood to see women as
action stars.
Sure. So they were like making this movie with a purpose.
Yeah.
And I think that's commendable.
It works. Yeah. I mean, I give this movie a 7 out of 10. I fucking love it. It's not even the corny script stuff. I think that's all perfect. I just think there's some directorial choices. Some just like the way the shots are sometimes. Like there's a moment in the third act when she successfully rescues her daughter after she blows up the freezer and stuff. And it's like she's running out and there's a guy that comes up and like punches her with his gun and tries to like he runs up within arm's reach of her with his gun out. And then she like slowly grabs him in a clumsy way and like tired punches him. It's just it's a small thing, but it's like you had a gun.
Yeah.
You could have stood where you were and shot them. You know, it's just like stuff like that. They're like, oh, don't ruin this for me with like little tiny mistakes.
Sure. Yeah.
To the point where I would love this to be remade because I love the idea.
The amnesia
assassin is so fascinating to me. I love the moment where she's chopping the carrots.
Chefs do this.
I'm a chef. And you know, but she's not. She's a killer. I love that shit. And I just want it to be redone with somebody a little grittier.
If they remake this movie, you still have to have Samuel L. Jackson as Mitch Hennessy.
I think maybe Jamie Foxx. There you go.
Hmm. Nope. It has to be Samuel Jackson or no one.
I hate that his name's Hennessy.
Mitch Hennessy.
But yeah, I just I love this movie. I just think it could be perfect.
I see what you're saying about Gina Davis. I do kind of want to push back a little bit on you. And here's why.
Like so, with your body?
Well, yeah. Well, come here.
Go ahead.
Let's rub butts. So when this movie started and I didn't know where it was going or what it was, the beginning of the movie, there was a lot of directorial choices that were being made. And I'm like, this is so corny. This is so weird. Gina Davis, I'm not feeling it. But as the movie progressed, the movie's tone really does change. And the way she plays the character changes just because, you know, there's split personality issues going on. And then I'm like, wait a minute. Did they purposely make the beginning of the movie so like Hallmark?
Yeah.
For TV movie so that when they turn that, they're like, oh, here's sweet school teacher down
Samantha
home.
Samantha Cain.
She makes apple pie and does the American dream. Oh, but when they do that switch, it's like, oh shit. Like, did they trick me this whole time? I felt like I was duped by this movie, but
bamboozled.
In a good way. Yeah. I felt that the movie bamboozled me in a good way.
Run amok.
Yeah.
I agree. I think so. I think that was 100% the intention. It's also watching at this time, I realized the fact that she's an assassin with amnesia was probably heavily a part of the marketing. And mm-hmm. So they don't bother to make it like a reveal at all. It's just, it's the insidious implication underneath everything in the beginning. Like if you were aware in the 90s of the trailers and stuff, I think you would have enjoyed the beginning a lot more, just kind of anticipating the turn. because they cut back and forth between the villains and stuff throughout the entirety of even the part where she's just a nice homemaker. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was an interesting choice. I would like it to be played a little more of a reveal, me personally, if they were ever to remake it or something. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
As somebody who walks in blind to movies by intentionally as often as possible, that would have been awesome. She's an assassin? Where like they weren't interested in revealing that as a surprise, clearly, at any point in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
But any hoozle. Let's dive in.
Let's do it.
What is it? 40 minutes in now?
So no, it opens just
with
20.
It opens with the Christmas parade. She is Samantha Cain. She's a hot Mrs. Claus.
I do love how like she's so hot as Mrs. Claus.
It's literally the on news. The news.
The news is like reporting in from Honesdale.
Holy shit.
I will sit on her lap if you know what I'm saying. Samantha Candy Cane.
I'd love to give her my candy cane. Yeah, it's crazy. I know what I want for Christmas this year. That ass. Back to you, Paula.
More at 12.
Speaking of 12, I just went from 6 to midnight and they have to cut him off. But yeah, that happens.
We're going
later.
To weather.
She's had amnesia for 8 years. And that she said she had a key in her pocket. That's all she knows. She had an ID that said Samantha Cain. They call it focal retrograde amnesia. She would have been right at home on the island and lost. She was 2 months pregnant when she woke up. And so that she has a kid now. And I guess she met a guy, I think his name's Hal, shortly after. They've been married for a few years.
What's that guy's name? I never got his name in my notes. So all my notes is like, dude shows up. Like,
let me see. But dude. Amanda's. Anyway, his name's Hal.
Hal.
H-A-L.
H-A-L.
Like the robot.
So he's the robot. Hal 9000.
That's right.
He's Hal number one. So she's like she's a school teacher by trade. And I just kind of wrote like, how the fuck is she a teacher when she was born 8 years ago? But then they explain it later in the movie where that was part of her cover. And so she had already had like, I guess the documents and fake training made.
Like,
so,
oh, I'm a teacher.
It's like, I guess I'm a teacher. I have this, you know, thing that says.
Oh, I know what you mean. Like, how did she get a degree and stuff? And
how are they like, wait, you don't know anything?
She just doesn't know anything about her identity. I think she knows math and arithmetic. It's focal retrograde. It's focused. Like she just specifically doesn't remember her identity. Mm. So then she messes with the kids about her amnesia. I really liked that scene where she comes up in the treehouse and she's like, come to the kitchen. Better hurry. I don't know where it is. Like she fucks with them. She's catty about the fact that she doesn't remember anything.
I do think it's cute that those kids are like, she's got amnesia. Yeah. And then when she says that line, the one kid looks like, oh, that's the thing.
It was really, I honestly thought that worked really well. And then we're at the Christmas party that she sees that fucking kid trying to steal a cigarette.
Raymond.
She's like, I will end you, Raymond. Which comes back again. Everything comes back. Chekhov would have creamed his pants watching this movie.
And then Hal does a fun little toast where he's like, you know me, I'm a good guy. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't swear. I do drink and smoke.
So clever.
It is fun.
I'd let him get in my pants. He's just charming. I get it now immediately. Oh, what a good joke.
I get it.
And then Sam Jackson enters the movie as we think the cop, Sergeant Madigan. Are you an ass fucking fan? Is this where you were in?
Okay. I'm going to give you my notes in real time.
Okay.
It goes Samuel L. Jackson.
Uh-huh.
What is that hat? Madigan Vice? Like, I thought that was his actual name.
No, he's a vice cop.
I thought he was like, hello, I'm Officer Madigan Vice.
No, Officer Sergeant Madigan Vice, as in he works vice.
And then I wrote, ass fucked? Hiring ass fucking? He's being arrested for prostitution. and then he immediately is like, we're arresting you for prostitution. Now I know you're not a wealthy man because look who you bought. Like, oh, God damn.
Which is his like partner. And she's like, yeah, you're an asshole.
Yeah. I was like, holy shit. Samuel Jackson just coming in hot and just shit it all over this poor woman. But her crime, she's in on it. She's in
to be
on
clear.
It.
Her crime is prostitution. That's how you kind of know he's not a cop. Oh, he was a cop though. Anyway,
he was. Was.
His crime would have been solicitation, by the way. Yeah. Just throwing that out there.
But the two the quote unquote deputies that are with him are actual like homeless people that he has paid to pretend to be cops.
Freedom is rights.
Freedom is rights. And the one guy's like, you have the right to remain silent.
Anything you say. So they're extorting this guy, and he's also a private detective who Samantha Kane has hired. And she even mentions, like, she started out with the expensive PIs and now she's down to the cheap PIs. He's the cheap PI who she doesn't expect to actually find anything. But, I, you know, he's back in the 90s, Shane Smith had no scruples. This is why I text you back. Because you're like, this movie's fucking wild. And I'm like, dude, yeah. Shane Black had no scruples. And Sam Jackson would say
anything. He was the Ron Burgundy of his time. You put a script in front of him, he'll say it.
Go fuck yourself, San Diego. He'll read anything on the teleprompter.
But to your point, like, that's such a perfect pairing, like someone who will write anything and someone who will say anything.
Yes.
But it's someone as clever as Shane Black writing it and someone as just charismatic as all get out as Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
Sam Jackson literally said, I'm tired of these motherfucking snakes on a motherfucking plane. And people were like, yes, this is the peak of cinema.
Hold on to your butts.
Hold on to them butts.
Slide another butt. We cut to Sam driving creepy old man Earl home.
Who is this man?
How much do you, fuck? And she's like, how much do I shove my finger through my other hand? Like, what an asshole.
And then he does let me stretch and grab your boob.
I love that he dies in a fiery hellscape.
Yes!
Just for being a piece of shit.
Just this drunk old dude just burns alive.
Yeah, slowly, because he's still awake and the car's on fire. And you think, oh, she's going to go get him out. No.
No.
She mercifully ends the deer's life.
But lets him burn.
And then passes out.
It's so weird.
That crash is fucking wild, too.
I think that this crash is when I text you. This movie's fucking insane.
Oh, really?
Because she's driving him home.
And the deer's still alive in the window, like kicking the shit out of him.
Kicking the shit. Yeah. So she's driving home. He's doing this. He accidentally grabs her boob. And she's like, hey, what the fuck? And he's like, oh, I'm sorry.
And then that
distraction makes it so she doesn't see this deer. And it's like the most insane, like, deer puppet violently thrashed into the windshield. It's kicking around. They're screaming. They hit a tree. She is launched
through the open windshield.
She's not wearing a seatbelt and she's launched out of the fucking car with the deer.
Yeah.
And then she gets up and snaps its neck because it's like in pain. And then he just gets lit on fire in the car and then she passes out. And I'm like, what is this movie?
This movie's amazing. That's what the fuck it is. Creepy ass Earl dies in flames. And then the Jersey Correctional Facility is, look, my note is, why is how hot she was as Mrs. Claus on the news? This city's fucking awesome.
This news is great because did you see what the lead in was to that?
No.
So before they switched to meanwhile in Hansdale, this really hot Santa mom.
Yeah. Santa mommy.
The sentence that's ending is like, well, I guess that's it for skydiving Santa. Like implying that there was a Santa that was skydiving and fucking died. And then they seamlessly transitioned. Oh boy. Hot for mommy. It's so wild.
I did not catch that. That's amazing. And then we get One-Eyed Jack. The one-eyed prison man recognizes her, freaks out on the TV, and then apparently busts out. And then we see Hal with Sam at the hospital. She's unconscious, but she has a vision of Charlie, her actual identity.
Yeah, it's almost like a horror sequence where
there's
like
a couple of these. Yeah.
Yeah. It's her. With her like brown hair.
With her M&M hair.
M&M hair. And then, she looks into the mirror and she's like all bloody and gross. It's like, yeah, you like being me. Smoke up, Johnny.
Yeah. She's like, the real Slim Shady. Please stand up.
It's me. Name's Charlie, by the way.
Hi, kids. Do you like violence? That's a Slim Shady song, Steve.
Thank you.
You want to see me stick 9-inch nails through each one of my eyelids? Try Sid and get fucked up as much as my life is.
You saying that in that voice for whatever reason is spine tingling.
Is it? You like it?
Yeah.
Like in a horror movie kind of way?
Yeah. You could be in the next Five Nights at Freddy's.
Hi, my name is.
What? Who? What?
Like you just sound like Sniper Town that can't hear.
What? Who? No, I don't want any M&Ms. Why do you keep asking me?
So we see Mitch on the porch with his son, giving him a new toy. His ex does not trust him. And basically, he has a terrible relationship with his son in the sense that he's known as a fuck up, a nobody, a thief. you know, and I like that he kind of plays with that too, in the way that she plays with her amnesia. You know, the kid's like, you know, I can't take this. Mom will think you stole it. And he's like, oh, come on, son. You know, I wouldn't steal a bike from around here.
I wouldn't do it locally. Go out of town and do that.
Which is really funny. And then I said, ooh, a beeper.
Oh, I love a beeper.
Because he looks at his pager. They found Sam's old apartment.
Trin, the his like
prostitute buddy.
I was going to say his partner.
She's not really a prostitute. She was just willing to play that role.
When I think of our relationship, Chris, I think of you as my prostitute buddy.
I appreciate it. I represent that. They're going to. They have more clues to her identity than any other detective has ever found before.
Cause like somebody, someone's grandmother passed away and she was the landowner or the renter. I guess Gina Davis was like renting at this person's place and like disappeared, but she had her credit card on
Charlie
file.
Was. Yeah.
And so this old woman passed away, but like, and they found this credit card in a bunch of her stuff. Ooh. After she passed away.
Yeah. So that's exciting. And they're excited to reveal that to Samantha Kane. We cut to Samantha cutting a carrot, and then we get the scene where, oh my God, I'm a chef, because she's cutting it super well.
Yahoo!
And I love the fucking saxophone in the background. This is the moment.
This is so cheesy.
The moment where I wanted this movie to be remade was the saxophone.
Yeah.
I get it. It's a product of its time, but sometimes we can do this better.
The weakest part of this movie is the soundtrack, like the musical scores.
Yeah, the
like
score.
At every moment, it's like a little cheesy. I mean, the very end is good. It's fine. It's serviceable. It like works. But like, especially in the beginning, like the choices are like, oh, this is hokey and cheesy. But it could be, like I said, it could be intentional. I don't necessarily agree that they went as hard on it.
They weren't concerned about being campy at any
point,
obviously.
Yeah, not at all.
Like the point where she throws the knife into the tomato. And I love that. Chefs do that.
It's such a funny scene because she's like chopping real fast. She's like, more, give me more. And they're like, she's remembering. And so they're going to the fridge.
I love
and like
it though.
Chucking like vegetables and like
how supportive her husband is. Like, Caitlin, fuck it, chop this.
Caitlin, the daughter's like all smiling. Saying, here, throw this watermelon at her. Okay.
Yeah.
And then they just
throw the cat at her.
And she just throws a knife at the tomato and sticks it to the wall. And then we're like, oh wait, this isn't fun anymore.
Chefs do that.
Knives are dangerous.
And we cut to my notes.
Scary now.
My notes are some dude has some dude tied up, because it just cuts to Timothy and some guy that he's torturing going, oh, shoot me. Don't stab me. And then they find out One-Eyed Jack broke out. He gets a phone call and Charlie Baltimore is alive.
So the dude that plays Timothy.
Don't like him.
What's that actor's name?
Somebody who sucks.
Craig Bierko.
Ah.
Bierko.
Sure.
So this dude, he's doing something. Mm-hmm. He's doing low rent Christian Bale from American Psycho.
Sure.
And all I could think of this whole movie was, God, I wish this was Christian Bale doing American Psycho in this role. How good would this be? Like this guy who's like, you disgust me. I don't have children. I just want to cut your insides out. Like just so matter. Cause his delivery is like that often. Where he's doing almost a newscaster voice while he's like,
he's a sociopath.
Being evil. Yeah. But because I don't know, there's something about him where he's like, oh mom, we have Christian Bale from American Psycho at home. And it's this guy.
Yeah. My casting choice for the remake is Dan Stevens. And I stand by that. I think if you watch The Guest, you will be with me on that. He was in Legion as well. I fucking adore Dan Stevens, but I think he would crush that. I don't really like the villain's portrayal in this movie, but he finds out Charlie Baltimore's alive.
Matthew Crawley?
Yeah.
From Downton Abbey? Yes, Mr. Crawley.
So then he...
I like that casting choice. Yes, please.
Thank you. Like I've never seen Downton Abbey, so that would not have been my pool. and then he tells Daedalus, played by David Morse, who plays Luke.
I know this is a little earlier, but I was so happy to see David Morse as Daedalus, because that dude, he's in a ton of shit, but he's usually like, if there is a bad guy and he is a bad guy, he's usually like the second or like the lieutenant. So when he popped up as Daedalus,
which he kind of is,
I was like,
find out.
Well, yeah. When he first pops up, I was like, oh, good for him. He's finally getting a chance to be like the bride and not the bridesmaid of like the antagonists in movies. But no, he actually is just the same old.
It was a subversion using his reputation wisely.
But he's a good, like subdued type of villain. Like all of his performances are pretty subdued, but
yeah,
he's good.
And you find out everything you need to know about fucking Timothy. And I hate that name too. like,
oh no, Timothy's chasing us.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to be shot by Timothy.
But it's like when he uses the knife instead of the gun, which is all the guy asked for. Like, if you're going to kill me, just shoot me, please. Like, what a dick. You find out everything you need to know about that character that he intentionally uses the knife.
Yeah.
Like a murderer is one thing, but a dick I cannot abide.
No.
And then Sam/Charlie is teaching her daughter how to skate, but Charlie's starting to come out now at this point.
Now that she bumped her noggin.
And she gets mean. Get the fuck up, you little.
Stop being a baby and get up. Life is pain.
That's right. Which comes back in the wildest way.
Yes. I did write, like, why did they cut away? I want to know if she made it. If she skated across the lake, I want to see. I guess because we find out she fractured her wrist. Poor Caitlin.
I think she already had at that point because she was complaining that her wrist hurt and she was like, shut up. No, it doesn't. And then later,
Sam. Wasn't that because she fell? Because she started skating and then she fell. And she said, my wrist hurts. And she's like, shut up.
Yeah, she had fractured it there.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Did she complete the skate with the fractured wrist?
Yeah.
I like to think so. She Tanya Hardinged her.
She's got that gumption. She's Tanya Harding her.
No! This episode was sponsored by BetterHelp. Folks, it's 2024. What does everybody do in the new year? They make resolutions. They set goals. How about we don't do that? I mean, you can. It's obviously nice to have goals, but it's also a good exercise to focus on things that you like about yourself. You know, not making all those high pressure goals that you might fail at and just feel worse. You can set smaller goals. And I think therapy can be a good way to access things that you enjoy about your life and focusing on the positive, the gratitude. And BetterHelp is a good way to do that. If you've never given BetterHelp a try, it's therapy that's entirely online. You can do it all from your home and access a therapist by filling out a questionnaire. And if you end up not liking that therapist, you can switch. Again, along with the theme of this ad, no pressure whatsoever. They're not going to have their feelings hurt by it. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Celebrate the progress you've already made. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings.
Happy New Year, everybody. New year, new chances to be thankful for everyone around us. And we are so thankful for every single one of our Patreon members. But now it is time to give a special shout out to our super patrons for the month of January. So thank you so much to Sebastian Generale, Sean Callahan, Stanton Valentino, Bryce Coppin, Susie Callahan, Anthony Corona, Infamous, Sunshine, Huckleberry Cauliflower, Mike from New Hampshire, Brett X, Emily Scarano, Lil Tickler, Svento7, Jay Scramo, Haley Anderson, AK Ashley Ray, Adam Busby, Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason Hawkins, Big Butthorn, Conrad, Kaylee Sampson, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Charlie Friday, Alexis Adler, Peaches, Emmy, Haley B, Joe Velez, Michelle, John Collins, Amber McVeigh, Amanda King, Trisha Bueller, Sunloving Mortal, Suzanne Rode, Lauren Waller, Jen Robinson, Kalisha Reeves, Aaron Armstrong, Kevin Strother, Orion Moore, Ashley Powers, Stephen V, Casey McCain, and Enza. Thank you all so much. And with that, let's get back to the show.
And the next scene, she's upset with herself. I don't know why. I blacked out. I don't even know what I said. Plus, her wrist was fractured. Oh my God, I'm a terrible person. And then fucking carolers show up. There's never a good time for that, but this is the worst time.
I love the
track. Has carolers ever actually showed up in your life, or is that a movie?
That is, to me, that's a movie thing. That's never happened to me. Right.
And
listeners, if you think
I think you would jam.
I would not answer the door.
Really?
No.
Like you like singing.
Sure. But like not caroling. I don't want like,
shut the fuck up.
I'm trying to read. I do like this reveal. Cause there's like a panning shot of all the carolers. And then I think it's the last caroler. You see, there's a shotgun to his head.
Yeah.
Cause at first I was like, that's kind of a weird thing. Oh, okay. What?
Not a shotgun, like a bazooka shotgun.
Yeah. Shoots fireballs.
I love that this guy broke out of jail, which is almost impossible, but I guess it happens. And then I always wonder, where did he get clothes? Where did he get this gun? Did he have a stash? Does he have friends?
These are questions.
I need to know. But yeah, he's just fucking there and with his giant, massive gun.
Before he lost his eye, he was known as Resourceful Jack. So that's how he got everything.
And he's pissed because she took his eye. We find out later how. But she beats the fuck out of him, kills him, snaps his neck or something. And then the husband sees that. And she's like, chefs do that too.
Dude, this fight scene legit rocked. Not only because there's like the insanity of the fireball thing, and then she just grabs Caitlin because
chucks her to the like the treehouse outside.
Yeah, so they had kind of like run up the stairs. Yeah, and there's like on a landing. Floor. He blows the wall up next to them, so it is outside, and then she chucks Caitlin out that hole, and she lands into the treehouse that's right next to the So beyond that insanity, the rough and tumbleness of them like fighting and like dudes like doing the sweet little like cocking of the shotgun before he fires it. It's very dirty and raw. And like, it's honestly one of the best action scenes I've seen in recent memory.
Yeah.
But then it just ends with, her like breaking his neck and licking her fingers and going like, chefs do that.
Shane Black is the best at duos. That's his cup of tea. Right. Like, so she comes outside and Mitch has got Caitlin in his car. And then we get the beginning of their kind of duo. But he wrote Lethal Weapon. This is the guy who wrote The Nice Guys. This is the guy who wrote Kiss Kiss Bang Bang with Val Kilmer and Robert Downey Jr. Like, it's these guys who annoy each other and team up.
Even Iron Man 3, he teamed up Iron Man with a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's his move. He's like the best at like the unlikely buddies, the buddy cops. Mm-hmm. It's fucking incredible how good he is at it. But anywho, like, I didn't mention Lethal Weapon earlier in the movies that he wrote, which is like one of the best. I mean, I was obsessed with the Lethal Weapon movies as a kid.
But you are too old for this shit.
I am. I'm too old for this shit. And then, so yeah, Mitch has the kid in the car. The cops are super racist because Mitch gets out and the cops pull up and go, freeze,
get on the ground.
Like, I guess, sure, be honest and how it would go down. Like,
please don't shoot me.
What the fuck? And then the next scene, Sam's going with Mitch. It's important that I figure out what's going on for our safety and everything. I have to know because he presumably told her, I got some info on who you are. And then Hal's like, whatever you used to be, I'm cool with it.
This scene cracked me up because she's saying goodbye to Caitlin specifically.
Yeah.
And she's like, hey, it's going to be okay. Reaches off screen. Here's a giant box candle. Light it for me every night. It's a vigil. Reaches off screen. Here's a lighter for it. Reaches off screen. I have a Sharpie. I'm going to get her right now. Like, does she have a bag just off screen? Is she just grabbing random shit?
It's like a hat. She pulls a bunny rabbit.
And this is such a small thing for a movie. Like, you never see this, which is why it tickled me so much. The fact that she gave her a candle, but it's in a box. Because in any other movie, they're like, here's just the candle.
No, yeah.
Here it is. It's boxed up.
Yeah, I'll tell you it's a candle, though. I'll tell you
it's a candle.
It's easier than getting a prop candle.
I don't know why that made me laugh so much. But yeah, and then she gives her...
the matches, right?
The matches. She gives her the key bracelet.
Everything comes back.
Yes. Yeah. And, well,
she wrote her phone number on... Here's my cell number. She wrote it on the cast.
Now, I didn't think the candle, the matches, or any of that was going to come back. But as soon as she gave her the key bracelet, I'm like, well, you just put your daughter in danger right there. That's in no way is that going to pan out well. The mystery key? Yeah, we're going to need that.
It cuts to the fucking White House.
My note is the fucking president?
That's what I... Dude, my note...
What's the president doing?
My note is fucking White House? Because that comes out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah, so, it's just the president like in the White House kitchen.
We get some tidbits about a counter assassination agent that has resurfaced or gone missing and how she's a relic of the Cold War. That's backstory for Charlie. And then she's in the car with Mitch. She gets the postcard that was sent to her old fiance is what they think. And he swerves in a hot jogger at like, just some guys do, by the way, it's not, he's like, damn, look at them titties. And she's like, oh my God.
They're literally in the middle.
We all do it.
They're talking. We all do it. They're literally talking about something very important to the story. Yeah. And then it's just cut off by him going, whoa, tits, and almost wrecks. And
you
then
got her beat from the neck up, put them.
It's so wild.
He just loves big old bitties.
It's just a thing guys do. I'm Mitch Hennessy. I can't help what I am.
Yeah. Yeah, my next note is gotta call Nathan. I don't even know why that's in there. I'm not going to lie to you.
Oh, it was, was it the book?
Was Nathan the name on the...
Two Charlie love Nathan. They think Nathan is the fiance or something. I don't know. Is Nathan Brian Cox?
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Maybe it is. Maybe it is. But because the next scene is Brian Cox, and that's who she calls, so it has to be. By the way, the lady with Brian Cox in this scene, did you clock her?
I saw her.
That's the... If peeing your pants is cool, I'm Miles
is
Davis.
Really?
I'm 94. I didn't even check. I'm just convinced that that's the peeing your pants is cool lady.
I'm not even going to look it up because I wanted that to be true.
I'm 90% sure it is.
Okay, so Brian Cox is Nathan.
Yeah. Yes. And then Chapter is like the Walton. Assassination club that they have. It's called Chapter.
Yeah, it's kind of like what's the organization Keanu Reeves works for in John Wick?
Well, the table is who he works for.
The table, yeah. Okay. So it's kind of like that. It's just an ominous sounding name.
But it's a government-sanctioned one.
Yeah, this is a government. This is like you got the CIA and then you got the Chapter.
It's like MI6.
Yeah.
Classic spy shit.
Yeah, there's this like little bit where like this dog just licking its ass while it's sitting on, I assume Brian Cox's wife.
No one but Brian Cox could have delivered that better.
There's something wrong with your dog, Sharon.
It's either never going to come dislodged or...
It's there for good.
Yeah. No, it was like two things. It made perfect logical sense. Like whatever it is, whatever he's been worrying at.
So after Pippin's back surgery last year,
yeah.
It's fucked up the way he poops now, like because he has to arch his back differently. Yeah. So his anal glands fill up like really fast and he has to get them expelled like every 8 weeks. Rather than like every 6 months. But yeah, he every night, like I know it's time for him to get his anal gland squeezed because he'll do what this dog was doing. He'll just like, buffet's open.
Buffet's open.
So when Brian Cox went on that little tirade, I'm like, yeah, I think I'm pretty sure I've said that to Pippin before.
Whatever's there.
Don't air my dirty laundry on the air.
Don't knock it till you try it. So he says they got to meet halfway in Chesterman, New Jersey. But they had his phone tapped. They talked about that earlier. Like tap the old man's phone.
Yeah.
And then it's fucking Daedalus, man. Bah. And then
Daedalus.
My next note is hell yeah, Rugrats. Because I think
what
one of the kids was watching Rugrats.
Oh, I missed that.
Or talking about Rugrats or something. She's on the phone with Caitlin and she's watching Rugrats when it cuts to her. I was a big Rugrats fan.
You love them Tommy Pickles?
Also in the 90s, you could say things like close the door if you're going to smoke and would think that that's going to be effective and stop the smoke. Like we had non-smoking areas of the restaurants. Remember that?
Oh yeah. It was like, smokers will sit in that corner of the room.
Non-smokers will sit all.
Just 20 feet away that way. That's effective.
Doesn't bother us at all.
Do you think like young, like Gen Z people who watch this movie are like, the fuck? What's the deal with that?
They got to like the door's not going to help. Go outside, yeah, go outside. You savage.
Yeah, you're gonna stain the walls.
And she looks under the old suitcase that was used to be Charlie's that she's going through, and there's a fucking sniper rifle in the bottom. And she like puts it together. She knows how. And then we get the horror movie Charlie again in the mirror. And then she almost shoots Mitch when he comes in the room to see why she's yelling. And we find out he was in prison for 4 years. And I love this twist where he tells this sad story about his partner and how the bonds were discovered in his closet. And you think that it's leading up to
he was framed by his partner or something
morally. Yeah. And like, that's how any lesser movie would have done it. And she's like, oh my God, they planted him there. And he's like, No, I stole him. And it's so funny, but he used to be an Atlanta cop. We found that out about him.
And he says he's never done anything right in his life. And
lifelong fuck up.
Cause when she shoots at him, he's like, I'm fucking out. I don't want to die. You're crazy. I don't want to do this. But like she kind of convinces him like, no, please help me. And he says like, I've never done anything right, but you know, you feel like you're in a prison because you can't remember your life. I've been in prison. Mm-hmm. And that's the connection where they're like, he's like, okay, I'll help you. But we're also introduced to this fun little, and I love the way this little tidbit climaxes in the movie. This little bit where he sings to himself to remind him of things. Put my keys in my pocket. Turning off the light before I go to bed. Like,
yeah.
It was just a fun little thing. But when it comes back at the end, I'm like, I jumped out of my seat and like did a fist bump.
Where does it come back at the end?
Like when you think he's dead, but he's like in the car.
He's in the truck trailer. Yeah.
In the truck trailer. And the music is.
I didn't even notice
that. You can't kill me, motherfuckers.
That's so funny. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, that guitar riff when he was like, hard.
Putting the gun in my right pocket at the train station or whatever.
Yeah.
But so they're 10 minutes early at the train station.
Oh, I love this line when they're
the sharpshooter dick joke.
Yeah. He's like, I don't want to shoot my dick off. Oh, now you're a sharpshooter? Implying yeah, his dick is tiny.
It's just real quick. Yeah. But the Timothy shows up. He realizes she really doesn't know who he is.
Because he can tell when someone's lying to him.
That's one of his superpowers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, so he tests her. And then we get the pocket shot. She remembers the guns in his pocket. And so when the people attack them, she reaches into his pocket and shoots the guy through his coat. That's a cool scene.
And there's this thing
I don't know why the guy has a fucking Uzi, though, but Mitch grabs that.
At this point in the movie, her alter ego of Charlie will come out as like a fight or flight mechanism.
Yeah.
And so she'll like... You know, she's you know, apple pie, Samantha Cain, and then the instinct comes out, but she seems to like black out. So the Samantha Cain doesn't remember killing all these people.
Or it's like a reflex and she's kind of amazed that she's doing what she's doing kind of thing, too.
Well, there's a point after this when they're like leaving the train station and she's like, what happened? And Hennessy's like, I killed all those guys and saved you. It was really cool. Like he's taking credit for all that because she doesn't
That's
remember.
That's true.
But yeah, these are the worst assassins ever because one dude... You know, slow motion walks right up to her. Clearly, he's like got something in his pocket. Probably well,
she
a
thinks
gun.
It's Nathan.
Yeah, she thinks it's Nathan. And then the Uzi guy comes up and kills literally everyone but them. Like he kills like
all those poor
eight or nine civilians who just happen to be
there.
I
love when they're walking into the bus station or train station or whatever, too. Like you see that sign that says thin ice. Like I said, everything gets used in the script.
I didn't even pick up on that.
As soon as they get out of the car, it pans over and it says thin ice. Shane Black is unfucking stoppable.
I didn't pick up on that. They go upstairs and they're trying to hype each other. He's like, okay, we're going to go out there. We're going to shoot out our way out. We're going to you know, have each other's back. And then the grenade runs up and then Samuel Jack's like, fuck it, run.
They have to end up jumping out of the third story window. And
that grenade is actually a nuclear bomb.
Yeah, it's such a big explosion. And then she ends up shooting the ice as they fall so that they go land in the water. And then they're picked up by Waldman, Nathan, the Brian Cox character. And he gives her a gun and pulls out another gun. And he's like, how many of them things you got? You know, he's like, I got a third one by my dick because guys don't want to touch balls. So they, you know, whatever.
Chekhov's ball.
Another thing that comes back later.
Yeah.
And we find out he's the one that trained her and she's a government spy. None of them believe him.
I love it when she's like, no, this can't be true. I'm in the PTA. And Brian Cox is like, that's correct.
Yeah. Like that's something like
Brian Cox is like a hero.
He's
I love
so
him
fucking
so much.
Good. He's amazing. You have to watch the show Succession.
I've seen the first three episodes.
That is not the show.
He's wonderful.
There's a whole bunch of more that happens.
Brian Cox is a treasure.
I fucking love that show. Fuck you for not watching it. You don't care about me. So they jump Waldman and run because they think he's lying. He can't be trusted. Even though he just gave them guns and stuff. So I get it that they don't trust him, but at the same time, it's like you could put a few more things together and give him a benefit of the doubt. Yeah. Also, them not trusting him results in his death, which is sad.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he was trying to help her. Goes back to her old house, finds her old quote unquote fiance. But then they later find out the postcard is like government talk. He's the mark. And that's why she knew everything about him. He sits down when he pees because she had been studying him and he's playing along with it. Like, oh, hi, honey.
I do a quick aside. I'm loving Hennessy's outfit during the scene.
Oh, with like the purple.
That green blazer on like a purple shirt.
It's like what's the hat though? It's like one of these hats, but it's like purple, like shag hair on it. Yeah. It's wild,
He sticks out like a sore thumb,
he's
but
so
I
confident.
Love it.
He just rocks it.
He wears it.
I have the quote. What's your name, Cathead? What's her name, Cathead?
Oh, I don't know. I don't have that written down.
Oh, he's talking about her daughter. He's talking to Sam and and Mitch goes, what's her name? Cathead? Like, it's what? But Waldman finds them. And one of my favorite scenes in the movie, I shit you not, Steve.
Oh, I think I know
how he found them. He's got his little notebook and he's like, you put the address right below a phone number and above this phallus you drew. That's a duck, not a dick.
It's so random. It's like he just drew this phallic looking duck on the piece of paper and Brian Cox just points it out. That's a duck, not a dick. It's so random, but I love it.
His little duck doodle is not a dick doodle. It's a duck, not a dick. I'm not going to stop saying that ever. Daedalus is not Luke. It's Daedalus. Oh, no. Yep. And then he does ye old windmill trick, as we all would, instead of simply killing her or anything effective. We're going to tie her
to a windmill
in white underwear.
Or is that what you call that? It's the circular thing that goes into the water.
Not
that
a wind. It's a windmill. It's a mill.
A mill. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Wind is not involved.
No.
You're right.
Correct.
You're correct.
But you're she's strapped to the circular mill, and they're gonna like dunk her into the freezing cold water for like 5 minutes at a time.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
Timothy's like, you know, she'll either die or go insane with that temperature.
You got this. I'm gonna leave and assume everything went well. Because I watched a lot of Bond movies.
You think I'm the crony, but really I'm the main villain of the movie.
The thing about Huey Newton.
Hey, Walter.
Huey Lewis?
Huey Lewis in the news.
And the news. Waldman's body is in the water, though. And she pulls.
Bummer.
At a certain point, she pulls his dick gun out after loosening her own straps, ropes, and shoots Luke / Daedalus to death.
We find out as she's being dunked in the water, we're seeing flashbacks to, you know, what happened. Like One-Eyed Jack was going to do something with her. He was supposed to inject her with something and then dump her. He's supposed
to kill her. And then he's like, I know she's really hot. Don't try to squeeze her boobs or anything. She'll wake up and kill you.
Timothy says something like, I know from experience, she's the Energizer Bunny. Do her than dump her, which is like, ew. Yeah.
Do her means kill her, just to be clear.
Yeah, but Jack didn't take it that way.
No, he did not.
Jack did not take it that
way. No, he did not. And that was his downfall.
But he's about to inject her with some sort of syringe, but she like takes it from him and stabs him in the eye.
Yep.
And as she's trying to run away, he just gets a lucky shot and hits her like kind of, I guess it's in the head.
He grazes her head.
Yeah. And then she falls into a cliff and they assume she's dead from there.
Yep.
And that's where her amnesia comes from.
Correct. But the torture brought Charlie fully back.
Yeah.
Is what this is. So she comes out, shoots him with a dick gun. And then rescues Mitch, who for some reason has not been killed. He's just like naked and shivering in a cellar.
They keep not killing Mitch.
They need to.
Definitely they should have done that first.
They can't.
Like, why'd they kill Waldman immediately? And they're like, Mitch might be fun for later.
Waldman was a dick and he did not fun to have around at all, I'd imagine. Sure. Brian Cox.
You don't want Brian Cox tied up to a pole just like admonishing you for hours, because he would. He's got the stamina.
His wife calling of pee in your pants is cool. It's like it's a drag. And then she says, who's Samantha? When he says her name. She no longer is Samantha Kane. The real Charlie's back. There's a bunch of gunshots outside. Hennessy's down there naked. Then we get the shower scene. The reveal that she's a hot assassin. Uh-oh.
Yeah, she's got blonde hair now.
Ooh. She does the Eminem look, switches back to that. That's her move.
Then Hennessy wakes up in this like weird, crazy room that looks straight out of Austin Powers. And he's trying to get ready, but he's like injured and shit. But as he's getting ready, he sees that Charlie has thrown away the photo of Caitlin and Hal in the garbage. And Hennessy, being the good dude that he is, pulls it out of the trash and keeps it.
This is your family.
Yeah.
And she sees that his wound is seeping. And so she flashes him her tits and then rips it off to distract him.
Yeah, because he's like, what? And then whoop.
How cool would the doctor be if this was standard? And then she's like, I distracted you so I could pull off the Band-Aid or whatever. And he's like, oh, I usually suck him in the jaw and yell, pop goes the weasel. Or no, she said that's how she lost her virginity or something dark. She's like, it's the same way you would take a virgin or something like that.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
He goes, I usually suck him in the jaw and you'll pop goes the weasel.
Yeah, she's talking about like biting an ear to distract. Yeah, it's like this really kind of gross.
It's very dark thing. And creepy.
And then Samuel Jackson is so like kind of like flummoxed by. He's like, what the fuck? No, I just suck him in the jaw and you'll pop goes the weasel. Are you crazy?
Yeah. So she needs to contact Chapter, which is the CIA branch that she worked for, and go back to work as her next move. She's not interested in her family or anything at all, or pretending not to be. She contacts Mr. Perkins.
Mr. Perkins.
We find out he's in league with Timothy. I hate that name.
Mr. Perkins, he's got like, it's Operation Honeymoon, where now old targets of this Chapter are now friends and they have to kill her. So because what they're wanting to do is basically...
9/11 was an inside job.
Yeah, they're
that's literally the plot of this movie. It freaked me the fuck out, Steve.
Well, they were like, we'll blame
it on the Muslims. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, well, they referenced the 1993 World Trade Center bombing as like the inspiration. Like, oh, we'll just stage a national disaster, blame it on Muslims. And then like, we'll get all the funding we need because they're about to lose all their funding from the government and they don't want to lose all their jobs. So they're going to kill 4,000 Americans. We'll call it
the war on terror. It'll be great.
Watch this drive. Dick Cheney's in the background the whole time the scene's playing out.
For sure.
Yes.
So she's baiting Perkins though. Doesn't actually trust him, luckily. And then she tries to fuck Mitch. And he's like, I know why you're doing this. To kill a school teacher.
I kind of like that school teacher.
And she's mad. I never asked to have a kid. I didn't want to be a mom. And then she's walking down the street.
I love Hennessy's line because he's like, he's like, I would love to have sex with a woman, but like, this isn't right.
I haven't been blown in 20 years or something like that.
Yeah. But he says something like, call your fucking kid. It's 2 days till Christmas. Get your shit together.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Bitch. Hell yeah.
But she's like, no, I don't want to have a kid. And then she's walking down the street. I'm not even going to repeat her line because it's fucking wild.
That is an insane line. That I just literally could not believe that she said that came out of her mouth.
Yeah, I just wrote Jesus Christ.
The 90s be wild.
It's Perkins' agent. She kills the fuckers, like three or four of them. Mitch tries to save her. She's like, I don't need you. Watch. And then she just kills them all. And then she leaves him again. And I love that they're driving away in the car together. And she's like, I've broken out of Tijuana or whatever she says. It's a European country. I forget what she said. And she's like, I think I can get out of Jersey. And he said, others have tried and failed.
The entire population.
That's so funny.
Got him.
She pushes him out of the car. He just lays there and smokes a cigarette.
I love that because he's literally, cars are rushing by him and could run him over. And he's just so like,
this is terrible.
Smoking like on his back, laying down.
It's great. And then she turns around and picks him up.
Hey, we can get rich. Remember that bracelet I gave Caitlin at the beginning of the movie and wasn't at all like, hey, this is important.
Yeah.
Well, it's important. We need to go back and get
millions
that
of dollars.
It unlocks a locker box in some train station. And in it is like a briefcase of money.
Yeah.
And money and fake IDs. And they need to get out of the country. And that's why they want the fake IDs.
We can be buddies together. Let's go pick up.
She doesn't want to reconnect with her boyfriend and child. She just wants that key so she can get the money and run.
I need the key. Come on, get the money and run.
Get the money and run.
So they go back home. She finds Raymond smoking while she's holding her sniper rifle. And he remembers that she said she would off him if she caught him smoking again. And now he's like, fuck. And she just hits the cigarette and gives it back and he pisses his pants.
If you tell anyone you saw me, I'll kill you. And he just starts peeing his pants.
Why wouldn't he?
So funny.
So she's looking for the bracelet in the kids' room and she ends up seeing her husband and daughter through the scope on her rifle. And it's very on the nose. Her daughter's dressed like an angel.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get Chekhov's ice skates because she saw them going into the house on the steps.
Oh, yeah. Chekhov's ice skates.
It never stops, man. Timothy kidnaps the kid when she gets away scot-free with the... and he says, I found your cell phone number on her cast.
Dude, that thing he says to the mom that sees him taking Caitlin is so dark because he's got Caitlin around on his shoulder and this mom sees him and looks like she's about to be like, hey, what the fuck? You're kidnapping this woman. And he just pulls out a knife and just points it at her two kids. It's like, you're going to lose one of them or you can shut up. And it's he's like a complete Jesus, sociopath. Whoa, that's dark.
Unstoppable. And then she's like, I don't care about that kid at all.
Bye.
Take your time, sir. I like the line that Mitch tells Charlie in this scene as well. He says, maybe Samantha Cain wasn't an act. You just forgot to hate yourself for a while.
Yeah.
Maybe that's another part of you, right? So Timothy calls with the kid. they decide they can trace him at the phone company. And they find out he's in Niagara Falls, hence Operation Honeymoon. She sees that Perkins is with Timothy when she sneaks up there. Fuck, they're in league together. Oh, no. And then they lay down the plan. She expects to die. So she kisses him. And I never bought a romance between them at all, but I feel like it's just like a, I'm going to die kind of thing. Like there is some
a mutual respect,
platonic and, love there with physical attraction. If that makes sense, that's not anything romantic.
Yeah. There's some interesting things here. Like she tells, Mitch is kind of asking like, man, this, you know, a lot about this Timothy guy. And, Timothy turns out is the father of Caitlin. Like,
And her Perkins gives Caitlin Chekhov's baby doll. That's important too, that I didn't mention.
Yeah.
I'm not a monster.
Yeah. He's like, the kid gets a doll to play with on Christmas. Come on, guys. I know we're going to kill 4,000 Americans, but come on. I'm not an ogre.
Is Shrek out yet? I don't remember.
It's going to be big with these kids.
DreamWorks has a chance.
Yeah. So, Gina Davis and Timothy bumped pelvises, as she says.
Yeah. That means they're, never mind. I'll explain it to you later, Steve. Oh, like Earl was doing?
Yeah.
So it's a trap. She ends up like falling in the cellar and then has 30 seconds with a thinky face and then looks at the doll and the gasoline. And, oh my. They're captured. Perkins has got his politician voice. We're in a while funding. Like he just immediately, that was weird. Professor Snape, but you know that like Southern drawl that like all politicians and movies have.
Yeah. Now I say here, ladies and gentlemen of the jury,
my constituents,
I'm but a humble leader of a shady government organization.
And then my notes are World Trade Center bombing, blaming all the Muslims. Yikes.
Yeah.
And then they've got the dead Arab on ice in the freezer. That's where she reveals that Caitlin's Timothy's daughter. He still doesn't care. He makes the fridge like 60 below zero. And then she snaps into action. It's one of those baby dolls that can pee, I think. And so she pees out the gasoline and plans on blowing the room outside up with it.
Wild. Yeah, she wants to see. She tells Timothy he's going to die screaming.
Yes, which he will. He will, Steve. Spoiler alert.
I love when he goes up. So he finally like, okay, now that I talk to them, now I'll go kill Mitch. And he goes he goes to see Mitch and Mitch is tied up. He's like, hey, Timothy, I'm glad you're here. I want to tell you a story about the Grinch. And he just throws a knife at his dick and it's scary.
Yeah. Knife with the gun. That's his famous ultimatum. She can't get a spark to blow up the shit. Then she starts crying like, oh shit, maybe my plan wasn't great. But no, Caitlin has Chekhov's matches in her cast. Don't cry, mommy.
I keep these in my cast to light the candle you gave me.
Mm-hmm.
From the first act. Oh. Should we get a dog?
I actually like that line.
I do too.
It's so good. And then she blows up the whole fucking house.
Holy fucking shit.
And Mitch gets launched
out the window. He's like strapped to a chair. He goes out the window through the fucking hotel sign.
Into the tree.
Into a tree.
And then ends up having to throw the knife that was in his chair at a guy who runs up to kill him immediately.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware he had that knife skill.
I didn't either, but it was dope.
Thank goodness. And then she runs out and he's like, you foxy bitch.
Hot damn.
Katie goes to go hide, but unfortunately in the bomb truck and
where Mitch, the fuck is that kid going?
Mitch wants to go get Katie. He's like, no, I want to do this. I always fuck up. I'm going to do it this time.
I'm going to do one right thing.
Also one of my other favorite lines. There's people, you know, there's people everywhere, Mitch. Well, kill him for me, bitch.
Samuel Jackson, I think I read somewhere that Mitch Hennessy is his favorite role he's ever played in his career.
Really?
Yeah. I think that was on like a Fallon interview in 2019.
Hmm.
Yeah. Because it's such a fun character. Shoot him for me, bitch.
I love the next scene too, because all the bad guys are like, Charlie's out, be careful. You know, like Timothy radios everybody, like, just stay vigilant, make sure the truck gets there. And it's literally 3 seconds later, you hear the guy on the CB after she knocks him out. She's got the truck. It's like, God damn it, you guys suck. I'm wounded, sir. I think I'm going to die.
Continue dying out.
Please continue dying, loser. It's funny. It's funny to me.
Yeah, that is a funny little bit.
And then the fucking brakes go out. That's unfortunate.
Of the truck, yeah.
And she is so, I get it though.
They're going to put the truck in like a, a small town that's having like this another Christmas parade.
Yeah.
Without a hot Santa Claus mom.
Unfortunately.
But she gets into the truck and like is like going to drive it away so it'll blow up somewhere else and not harm anybody. But yeah, the brakes go out and she can't control it anymore.
It's a chemical bomb. So it's got like...
You can't stop it.
30 minutes until it explodes.
Yeah, there's no diffusing this thing. It's going off no matter what you do.
So... I love though that like it sucks that the brakes go out. It's such a movie thing, like to add, it's a hat on a hat for like a tension filled scene.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like her character kind of acknowledges that. And when the brakes don't work, she's like, suck my dick. Yeah. It's like crashes the truck.
Which this is the first time in cinematic history where a woman says, suck my dick.
You on think screen. It is?
According to IMDb, it is.
Oh, really? It's a fact. It's an actual fact that you found.
Yeah. That was in the trivia.
I feel like Marilyn Monroe probably said that.
On film, though?
Yeah.
Really?
I just like watched something like it hot. I just watched that. It's fucking great.
I love that movie.
I love that you so love that good. Movie. I didn't know you'd seen it.
Yeah, I love it a lot. I love Jack Lemmon.
So. Yeah.
And he's great in that
movie. The whole time I was like, how many times have I used to watch Grumpy Old Men a lot and the sequel when I was a kid. But it was nice seeing him as a young man in Something Like It Hot. That's where the story was going.
Have you seen The Apartment?
I have not.
That's also
so Billy Wilder good. Might... I've seen two of his movies, but he's fast becoming one of my favorite directors because I fucking love Sunset Boulevard and I just watched Some Like It Hot.
I've never seen Sunset.
It's so good. I got to watch The Apartment and Witness for the Prosecution, I think. Mm. Or the other two ones, the big ones, Billy Wilder ones. Anyway, fucking great. I'm having a great time. I'm focusing on not trying to watch every single 2024 release this year because I watched 151
new movies
last year.
It's a lot. That's a good number.
Like 386 movies total, but 151 2023 new releases. And like, I like to have the philosophy that like, even if a movie looks bad, I might love it. Even if it has bad reviews, I might love it. But like, let's be honest, 70 of those I knew were not going to be very good. I was just trying to review as much as I could. And instead this year I'm trying to focus on like, dude, I've never seen so many stone cold classics. You know what I mean? Like I need to prioritize those. 316. So I'm going
Austin
through.
316 says Papa Casablanca.
Casablanca's fucking amazing.
I know
by
you
the
just
way.
Watched that.
Yeah,
one.
So yeah. Good. Any hoozle. That's my goal for this year is to like role play just came out on Prime Video with David Oyelowo and Kaley Cuoco. And there's a new Kevin Hart movie on Netflix. And I just said, fuck that shit. Yeah. I'm watching Some Like It Hot. You
Good
know what I mean?
You. Good for you, man.
It's freeing. It's freeing, Steve.
It is.
Any hoozle. Suck my dick. The truck wrecks.
Oh my gosh.
So every one Caitlin, of you bastards.
Caitlin is basically just, she's hidden in a poor metal kid. Box on the side of this
I
truck.
Know.
And this truck is ramped, launched into the air and like crashes and falls on its side.
Mommy, I hit my head.
And yeah. Mommy, I hit my head. No, you would be mashed potatoes in that thing. You would be a Caitlin smoothie in there. It would be just goo.
She ends up like hitting Timothy's car with that wrecked truck. And then they fight a little bit in like this fucking something tunnel thing. And she
four inches.
He falls. It'll be in you or some shit.
Yeah, you'll feel me.
You'll feel it. There yeah. we go. And then he falls in the river. She climbs out while he climbs out. She gets Katie. He gets a fucking helicopter. And then she, was it Caitlin that says, don't run away again, please?
Yeah, she doesn't want her to go away. But yeah, she's like, Caitlin, you got to run.
And she's like, Caitlin, please run. Don't look back. The truck is a bomb. It's going to blow up.
Before that, though, the helicopter shows up and yeah. they're like shooting at her. And she kills one of the dudes that's like, I don't know, in the bay of the helicopter.
Yeah.
I don't know. We call that big open section of a helicopter. And the guy had a flare gun and he ends up like flaring himself on fire. And just this guy is like, fire.
It's great.
It's dope.
It's great. And then Caitlin runs back to her, which is
5 minutes left.
Frustrating to watch. TikTok. And then she says the skating rink line, mommy, life is pain. You just get used to it. Quit being a bitch. Get up.
This little girl.
Wise words of her mother.
It rouses her mom.
I hate that she like had glassy dead eyes and then came back to life instead of being unconscious and woke up. Mm-hmm. Like her eyes were open and I didn't like that.
Yeah. There was a really cool shot where, cause the feds, I guess the other bad guys in Chapter show up and they've kind of blocked the bridge on the American
side.
We
understand you don't want to die, ma'am. Nothing we can do about it.
Sorry. We're all going to die if we stay here, but we're just going to make sure you don't escape. I don't know what our plan is.
December 24th was an inside job.
I was thinking the whole time. So they're on a bridge that connects the USA and Canada. and nothing's going on the Canadian side because the Canadians are like, hey. But you have to imagine there's one like customs guy that works on that side of the bridge, like looking out his little window, like,
what's that all about?
What's all this here American stuff going on out here?
You can't shoot at that lady.
Hey, Sarge, there's something going on the bridge here. Some woman with a kid just shot a flare gun guy out of the helicopter, and it looks like the rest of the U.S. military is trying to talk her down.
She looks like a hot, slim, shady.
If I had to describe her to you, it would be like, imagine if Mrs. Claus was hot to trot, if you know what I'm saying. But so they're blocking everything out. There's this really cool shot where, you know, she gets up because Caitlin's sort of giving her the inspirational speech. I like whoever was doing focus pool, like, crushed it, because the cops at the one bridge are in the focus, and then she stands up and it's like immediately like zips focus to her, and the lights go bokeh. It's a pretty cool shot. I don't know why, I just wanted to shout.
There's a couple cool great shots. I mean I knocked the direction a little bit in this, but it's more like the era that I was probably criticizing. But there's a couple cool moments in this last sequence specifically, but she's trapped by the truck with 2 minutes to spare by Timothy's gunfire from the helicopter. And that's when Mitch busts out of the car, bleeding, and drives up to her.
You can't kill me, motherfuckers. Yeah,
drives up to pick him up, but they can't leave. And then she decides to run out and distract them so they can get away.
And then she uses the flare guy that's still on fire.
He's just hanging by the lights.
She uses him as a counterweight to like shoot herself
so
up.
So cool. And grabs his gun.
Grabs his gun as they're passing, and then shoots Timothy, who falls out of the helicopter and onto the truck. And
dies screaming. And then we get the explosion on the bridge that like lifts up their car and engulfs half of it in flames. They're all screaming in the front seat.
Niagara Falls is a crater now.
The second best line in the movie is Caitlin going, Don't hit the cars. And he's like, shut up. But also, it's a fucking great line.
I wish he would have done like a duh.
It's a fucking great line. When they're saved, they stop. It's calm. It's quiet. And he says, you got your mommy's eyes. Don't let anybody tell you different. Oh, I'm going to cry.
Yeah.
It's a good line.
Yeah. Because when they're in the fridge to try to convince Timothy that Caitlin is in fact his daughter, she's like, she has your eyes. And he looks at her and you can tell that he realizes that she's not lying to him.
Yeah.
But this is really sweet. It's so sweet what Mitch says. Like, you got your mama's eyes. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Your dad's a dick.
The next scene, for no reason to me at all, Gina Davis has the Thelma and Louise look. Like, she's got the thing wrapped around her head and the drop top.
Oh, yeah. The scarf or whatever you call it.
I don't know. Maybe that's something people do. I don't think people actually did that, but outside of 1963.
The president's calling her while she's driving around with a suitcase full of money. And she's like, you'd be surprised how much a teacher can earn.
I'm working on that, my next campaign. But first, healthcare or something. I don't know.
Even in 1996, they're like, we should shut down this government agency and take its funding and give people healthcare.
I know. It hit me that like we've always had the same complaints that have never been addressed.
Yep.
And it's kind of wild. But then she plugged Mitch with the president. She asked him for a favor and gets him on Larry King.
Yeah, he's taking all the credit for the heroics.
I'm always frank and earnest with women. I'm frank in New York and earnest in Chicago. And I love that's his like ex-wife and son watching. And that's the line he uses to like get redemption. I have girlfriends in every state. And that's the end of the movie. Except for the knife throw when they've got their little cabin.
Yeah, they have a goat farm or something.
And Hal's like, I love how you murder.
I'm scared.
His look is so like,
you're going to win every argument from here on out.
I'm uncomfortable with your ability to murder. And that's the end of the movie, baby. What a good script.
What a fucking ride, man. This was so much fun.
Right?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I loved it. I had such a fun time with this movie.
Becky, thank you so much for your Patreon movie choice. Excellent decision. I was actually supposed to be a guest on a podcast last year and I like got too busy and haven't even spoken to her since. I feel like such a dick, but I had chosen to review Long Kiss Goodnight out of the 10 movies that she sent me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it was one of those things where like, okay, we'll be talking about that in like 4 months. And then when it came around, I was just swamped. But I do love this movie. It was so fun to revisit it. Huge Shane Black fan. Thank you, Becky. And thank you to all of you for listening. That's all the time we've got for right now. We've got to go return some videotapes. My name is Kit.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things. Happy streaming. it for me, bitch.
Gonna hit and record on the podcast. Gonna upload it to Spotify.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.